Listen for God to speak to you through his word. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, and now that we have been justified by his blood, we will be saved through him from the wrath of God. For it is while we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. May God bless the reading of his word. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your eternal word, for your word alone is truth. Instruct us in your word that we may grow thereby. And now, so remove this man that we may hear you speak in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the first word of the text today? Therefore. It leads off the section to Paul's letter. I had a seminary professor who once said, if you see the word therefore in the Bible, you must owe it to yourself to find out what it is there for. It's a bridge from the first four chapters. Paul has already discussed the righteous judgment of God, that none of us has righteousness on our own. And he lifts up Abraham at the beginning of the book of the letter to the Romans to talk about how Abraham, through the righteousness of his faith, set an example for the people to be like. That God's promise can be realized in you if you just understand. And then he takes time with his pen to say, therefore. He has concluded his count of justification by grace and moves on now to tell us the consequences. That's why we have therefore. Justification has results. A justified person has something. There is a story about an elementary student who went home and he showed his report card to his father. And his father said, this isn't going to do. Got to do better than this. Grades got to come up. There's going to be consequences. And so he went back to school and he said, teacher, I hate to tell you this, but my dad said, if my grades don't start improving, somebody's going to get a spanking. Concern. It continues with him. We are all faced with grades. We are all faced with judgments. We all have marks that are against us. We all live sometimes in the pressure cooker of life. If there's just one more thing that's going to come upon us, it's going to explode. And we don't know what we're going to do anymore. It's hard when kids in school get ulcers, when doctors prescribe tranquilizers for elementary students, when college students and high school students approach the course with a life or death mentality. We are a culture that operates on the theory of justification by the grade. Not by grace, by the grade. Like us to examine how we justify ourselves by the grade. You can't talk about how you can justify yourself by the grace of God until you first look at how do we justify ourselves by the grade. And in my analysis, I've discovered they all start with the letter P. So let's use that as a retention aid. We justify ourselves by our pedigree, by our family name. It's who we are. It's done in the Christmas ritual, you know. It's the bragging rights letter. We all write them. We all receive them. Dad got the big promotion. Mother won the tournament. Michael made the football team. Sally was recognized for her distinguished service. We even throw the dog in there sometimes. The dog got the blue ribbon at the state fair this year. We don't ever get the real letter. Dad got a new job because he got laid off again. Mom left the iron on and she burned down the laundry room last July. Michael flunked English for the second time this year. Sally didn't get a date for the prom. And instead of the blue ribbon at the fair, the dog bit the cop. We want to justify ourselves through our family accomplishments, the bit of fame just to hold on to. Can we just hold on to it a little bit? Been doing some history over the years with a great aunt, trying to discover where the Nagel family came from my mother's side, the Hyders. And we've discovered we are from the royalty of English. Not really. We're the descendants of the scullery maids to the king. But it's part of who we are. It's part of makes up our being. We justify ourselves by our patriotism. Samuel Johnson said that patriotism was the last refuge of scoundrels. But it's the first refuge of justification. If I wear a particular outfit or a particular pin, if I give all my being to some organization, become a member of it, maybe even the church, become a part of it, it will say who I am. It's the most convenient way to justify one's existence. Justify ourselves by our pedigree, by our patriotism, by our progress. Look how far I've come compared to others. It affords me justification. One's worth. I have athletics. Look at the sales charts. What's the batting average of my son over your son? It's progress. Did you know that Einstein flunked physics the first time? Beethoven was told he couldn't become a musician because he was deaf. He would never proceed and progress in that. Your life depending on the progress of somebody else. Of course it does. It's how we support our family. It's what we do in life. It's how we live. It's what we pay our house payments with. Our progress. But if we justify ourselves only but who we are in our work, Christ is not praised. We try to justify ourselves by our piety, our reason for being. It's the easiest way, perhaps, to justify yourself. Look at the religion. If someone can just look at me and how I live my life, they'll be able to say, now, there's a Christian right there, and can I just be like that person? And we find people in life that are very pious individuals. They're good Christians, good believers, faithful people. And we say, let me be like that person, oh God. But it doesn't work out in the end. It's one of the major pitfalls that Jesus found with people of his day. He called them Pharisees and Sadducees, and he dealt with them by saying you can't offer as many prayers, you can't know as much scripture as you want and justify yourself. We talk to people like that. There's something which we're passionate about. We want to have a conversation with somebody, and immediately they disagree with us, and what do? They quote scripture. We can't quote scripture to support our defense. And so what happens? They're right. If we just had known as much as they had known, then maybe we could have made a better argument. Jesus said, you can't justify yourself that way. It breeds hypocrisy, and nobody can escape from it. We justify ourselves by our property and by our possessions, and it's pretty obvious. We can skip that one. We don't need to go there. We justify ourselves by our personality, by our personhood, if we have a talent, if we're artistic, if we're a good singer, if we're a good football player, if we're good at something, that will make me different than everybody else. And if I can just be different than everybody else, I'll have my place in the world. And I can be justified. Sports figures fall into this very often. High schoolers, look at the letter L I got on my jacket this year. You didn't get a letter L? Sorry. Doesn't make you any different. We want to justify ourselves. There's nothing wrong with talent. But if we use it to say who we are, only who we are, we're falling short of what God wants us to do. We justify ourselves by our power. It's perhaps the most clearest one that we see in the world today. Trying to define something. We have all the scandal in Washington. One side trying to get power over the other side. What's going to happen in the election year? Are the seats going to change so that we have more power than they have? Bobby Moffitt lost the last election. He said it was very devastating personally as a congressman. It was like losing the kind of power that's very tough. Shell-shocked, he said. Like being in a war. The power of being the chairman was too great. What type of power justifies you? Is it the power in your work? I'm above everybody else. When I say to do something, people are prepared to do it. Does it justify your existence? I know exactly how to get my son to eat. Just give him a cookie. Just a piece. He'll take it, eat the rest, and then he can have the rest when he's finished. It's power. It's knowing what to do to get somebody to do something. Power. You have power in your family. Power in your marriage, power with your kids or your grandkids. We know what power is, but we can't justify ourselves from it. It leads to the next justification, the justification of perfection. You've heard the statement, if anything's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Therefore, if you can't do it right, don't do it. Don't even try. Perfection. The problem with justifying yourself with perfection is that you're never the person who gets to decide if it's right. It's somebody else. And you always fall short. Perfection leads to arrogance and it leads to depression. And you can't justify yourself before God with it. And we try to justify ourselves with our penance in the end. Repentance for wrongdoing. Martin Luther tried over and over to do that at the beginning of his ministry, and he finally said he couldn't. And he learned that as he tried to get closer to God through his penance, when he decided he couldn't, he found God right in front of him and then was able to talk with him. No matter how much you tell God you're sorry, it's not going to make you any more promising in the light of God. And you certainly can't justify yourself at the throne of grace. Justified. We are justified by our... What is it? What do you justify yourself with? It's not by grace if you choose something who makes you who you are. We're justified by grace. Any other way, and we would fall short, and we do fall short before God. You don't earn grace. You don't struggle for grace. You don't attain grace. You don't pay for grace. You claim it. You claim grace. You're justified by faith. And that's by the grace of God. Paul says later on in his letter to Rome, "For by grace you have been justified through faith. It is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not because of works, lest anyone should boast." If there's something you're boasting about, it's not going to justify you. You're justified by grace. You can take the whole gospel of Jesus Christ and you can break it down right there. You're justified by the grace of God before the throne. Story about a boy who had to take his birth certificate to school. Had to get permission for something, and his birth certificate was his excuse for being able to go, and he forgot it. And he came home and he told his mother, "I forgot my excuse for being born." Forgot my excuse for being born. It's not that we're not born for a purpose. It's not that we shouldn't try to hear the call of God in our life and discover what it is God wants us to do. But when you hear the small voice of God and then you do it, it's not going to justify you. You're just doing what God called you to do. Only justified by grace. Therefore, you have been justified. Therefore, follow me. Therefore, stand up. Therefore, look at Jesus Christ. Therefore, believe the gospel. Therefore, you are a child of God. Therefore, you have been justified by grace. Amen.